So a while ago, when we first started the halacha series, which I guess is almost 2.5 years ago, one of the topics that came up as a potential topic was Chol of Yisrael. And the truth is, I've been collecting material on it, which I actually gave up because I had so much material collected. I just gave up and I started again. And we will see a couple things which I think are interesting. The basic question is why do we have an insistence on having Chol of Yisrael? What's the reason for it? So ostensibly, the answer to this is a very straightforward Mishnah found in the first source. The Mishnah is a Mishnah in Masechet Avodah Zarah. It says, Ve'elu dvarim shel ovdei kochavim asurin. There are certain things which are in contrast to Avodah Zarah itself. There are certain things that are prohibited, and the prohibition does not include a prohibition of all types of benefit. And it gives a list of a number of things. One of them is Cholav Shechilvu Oved Kochavim Ve'ein Yisrael Ra'ahu. One of the things on the list is milk, which is milked by a non-Jew, and there's no Jew around to watch it. Now, there's two basic ways to understand this prohibition. One way to understand it is that our concern is a concern of kashrut. We're concerned that non-kosher milk will have made its way inside. So therefore, when your local non-Jew comes to sell you a jar of milk, a bottle of milk, do you know where that milk came from? Which means the same way that milk could have come from his cow, that milk could have come from his pig or his camel or any other type of animal. So therefore, that's one way of understanding it, that it's a problem of kashrut. Another way of understanding it is that this is some type of a gzeirah. We find certain things of non-Jews are not allowed. For example, we have a prohibition of stam yenum. Stam yenum is not the prohibition of Yayin Nesech. Yayin Nesech is a Torah prohibition that when an idolater may make libations, whatever libations mean, with wine, they may use it for Avodah Zarah. So at that point, the wine becomes part of the practice of Avodah Zarah. That's a Torah-level law. There's a rabbinic-level law called Stam Yenum, not for non-Jews that are idolaters anymore, but it's a prohibition, a gezerah, rabbinic law, with which consideration? Consideration of intermarriage. So theoretically, one could have suspected that maybe the problem over here with milk is also one of to keep Jews and non-Jews separate. Don't go sitting and having ice cream with your non-Jewish neighbor. Okay? So, as I said, there could be two ways to understand it. There could be two ways to understand it. I'm greatly oversimplifying. I'm just saying this just to understand the possibilities. The Mordechai, which is a relatively early source, the Mordechai comes from the Balei HaTosfot, and he's actually going to be stringent, but within his stringency, if we listen very carefully, we may hear a leniency. He says, Idaleik adover tomei be'idro. What about the case, and he's quoting from the Gemara now, a little later on, a case of the Gemara where the non-Jew has no non-kosher animals in his flock. Which means, again, you live on a farm, your next-door neighbor lives on a farm, you know what he has on his farm. On his farm he has goats and he has cows. He doesn't have camels, he doesn't have pigs, he doesn't have any non-kosher animals. He only has kosher animals and he brings milk. But by the way, there was a bizarre case in New York in the last couple of months, and half a year ago, where some store was selling cheese made out of the proprietor's wife's breast milk, which then the Board of Health came in and complained. So even though the Gemara over here speaks about a heter, when the guy has no non-kosher animals in his flock, and we'll see if that's a heter or not, or what the considerations are. What? Breast milk is not kosher for anyone other than a baby to be eaten. It's a rabbinic law. Okay. So anyway, he brings out, what about the case where the non-Jewish neighbor has no non-kosher animals in his flock? Pshita yesh mochichin mikan to imbor lanu de ein behema tmeya beidro de mutuli kachol of meoto ovid kachavma filo ein yisroro. He goes, some conclude from this that if he has no non-kosher animals, even if there's no Jew overseeing it, it's kosher. Now, what does he say? V'todhu b'yadam, but they're wrong. Which means, he says, you need two things, ultimately. You need a Jew overseeing the milking, and you need to know that there's no non-kosher animals, which is the non-kosher animals itself is not enough. The imkain hoyelo lahakshot. The Gemara should have asked idaleka davar tamei beidro lamalid Yisrael yoshev bitzad idro viro. Why do I even need the Jew to look if there's no non-kosher animals? Elahaki perushu idaleka davar tamei beidro pshita to be yoshev bitzad idro sagi. That if there's no kosher animals and there's a Jew sitting on the side, even though he may not be actively watching, that's enough. Mishum Rabbi Yonah mikun tuvira, v'chein katzav Rav Peretz zeichet tzadik kodesh lebracha b'pesukav, diafilu ein davar tami be'edro. Even there's nothing non-kosher, yesh lachmir liot Yisrael sham b'tchilat acheliva. There should be a Jew there from the beginning. Pen yarov o yosim ovid kachav mukhalav tami, lest he mix it in with non-kosher milk. Or there was non-kosher milk b'kli kodem sheyavo Yisrael, or maybe there was non-kosher milk in the barrel, the jar that they're using to put it into. Now, what do we understand from this Mordechai? Now, you can just come to the conclusion that he's being strict. What's he being strict about? He says it's not enough knowledge, not enough to know that there's not any non-kosher animals. You still need a Jew around to watch, to observe, even if it's not actively observing. But what's his concern? He says, he doesn't say, because there's a gzera, because there is a rabbinic injunction. What does he say? He says, because we're afraid that non-kosher milk may have been in the jar or may have been someplace over there. So from the Mordechai, we could begin to get a sense that the problem with the chol of Akum is a problem of kosher and not a problem of a rabbinic prohibition. Again, is that distinction clear? Is there an absolute rabbinic prohibition which may be analogous to things like, or possibly like pat akum, which maybe we can speak about afterwards, or is it analogous to yayin, right, to stam yenam, where there's a gzera by these things? And as I said, once you want to know why a gzera, you can say maybe there's a problem of intermarriage and so on. Or is this a problem? This is a purely technical issue, and we're worried, is the milk kosher or not kosher? And without so many things can go wrong without somebody overseeing it, we're afraid that something went wrong. So therefore, the concern is, even in a case where arguably there's no non-kosher animals there, maybe that jar was used some other place beforehand, or maybe there's still non-kosher milk that he took from his neighbor, and therefore there's a concern. You can say it's far-fetched, whatever you like. I'm not that concerned with what the Mordechai says right now, but what I'm more concerned with is the Mordechai's reasoning. His reasoning is, what are we afraid of? We're afraid of the non-kosher milk, not that there's some kind of gzera. Okay, is that clear? When we look in the Rambam, we're maybe not as clear. The Rambam writes, "Ha'ochel gvina ta'akum, ocholov shechovu akum, ve'ein yisro ra'ohu, makin oto makat mardut." Which means, a Jew who eats non-kosher cheese or non-kosher milk, and the Jew who eats cheese or milk, which was milked from a non-Jew, where a Jew was not watching it, gets lashes. This makat mardut is, it's makot from rebellion, mardut from the word merid. What's the rebellion? He didn't listen to the rabbis. Makot mardut is always an indication of breaking a rabbinic law, which means there's rabbinic law, you can't drink this milk. How do I know there's such a rabbinic law? It says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you can't drink this milk. So the Rambam says anybody who breaks this law is breaking a rabbinic law. He then says something which is very interesting. Hachem'ah shel akum, regarding butter of non-Jews. How do you make butter? You cream up, the milk until you get butter. You churn it.
It's the fat.
The fat.
No, but but if you
shake it too.
If you shake it too much, you end up getting butter.
Right.
Okay. If you want, we can have a class trip next week. You guys can all make butter. No. Continue, but listen to the Rambam says, Hachim'a shel akum, when it comes to butter of non-Jews, miktzat ha-ga'onim hi tirua, some of the ga'onim said it's allowed. Why? Shaharei lo gozra lachim'a. There's no gzeira against butter. Now, if you look back at the Mishnah, what did the Mishnah say? Mishnah said milk. Now, you could say milk is all milk products. Or you can say milk is the gzeira. Who said the gzeira is on butter? So the Rambam over here, just now presented, again, it sounds to me like is talking about a gzeira, right? There is a rabbinic law over here, but the rabbinic law only applies to milk and does not apply to butter. The logos were alachim'a, the cholav hatme'a, enu omeid. And then the Rambam says something which maybe you knew, maybe you didn't know, and you can tell me if you know this to be true or not. Apparently, you cannot make butter out of pig's milk or out of camel milk, out of other kinds of...
Yak you can.
Out of what?
Yak
you can. Well, the Rambam here claims... Well, I don't know. Look, today also, there's another consideration. Today, with food technology, you can do all kinds of things that were not possible at this time. The Rambam says, as far as we understand, you cannot make butter out of the non-kosher animals, which means all the non-kosher animals which they saw, they tried to make butter... could not be formed. It was only from cow's milk or only from kosher milk that they were able to make butter. So therefore, he says, if you have butter, so what do you know? That butter cannot be from a non-kosher animal, so therefore it's quite possible that there's no... There were two stages to this. One stage is that maybe the rabbis only made a gzera against milk. Who said they made a gzera against anything else? Second stage is, on top of that, that when it comes to butter, you can't make butter out of non-kosher animals, and therefore it's allowed. He says some ga'onim say that. U'miktzad ga'onim asru netzachtzuche chalav sheyisharbar. And some of the ga'onim didn't allow it, because even after you make the butter, there may be some milk-type liquid which is still connected to it, and therefore the milk is still there. Shrei hakum shebechema einu ma'urav imachema kadei shivato b'miyuto v'kol chalav shelahen choshishin lo shema iruv v'cholav behema tzmeya. And any time there's milk, then we're worried about that there may be a mixture of non-kosher milk, which means if I have butter and I have some milk hanging on top of it and that milk didn't mix in to make the butter, not only am I afraid, what's he saying in the second opinion, that maybe that's an indication that there was non-kosher milk mixed in with the kosher milk, and that's why the non-kosher milk wasn't formed into butter. So therefore, the Rambam seems to be working with this, from the beginning, absolute prohibition, according to the Rambam, which we shouldn't be surprised, we saw the prohibition of the Mishnah. Just in case you were surprised about the lashes that you have coming to you, lashes for this as well. Butter, he says, is not necessarily included. That, he says, is machlokik ga'onim, which means that there's two traditions regarding the question whether butter was ever included within the prohibition of milk. Shulchan Aruch. Right, and the Rambam therefore again tells us that butter may not have been included, and he gives us a reason that the butter may not have been included, because you can't make butter from non-kosher milk.
And specifically
butter and milk. So, one second, so that becomes a very interesting question, what's included and what may not be included. But it's interesting, what are the words of the Rambam, according to the first opinion? Shelo gazru alachema, because there was no gzera against butter. Now, is the reason there's no gzeir against butter is because it was only a gzeir against milk, or is the reason there's no against butter because it was everything, all milk products except for butter? So I'm saying you really could read this Rambam in two different ways, and that may end up becoming very significant. Shulchan Aruch, which is pretty authoritative as far as Jewish law is concerned, correct? Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. Cholav Shechilbu Ovid Kochavim Ve'en Yisroel Ra'ohu. Again, that's a time and time again. That's the definition. That's a definition from the Mishnah, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch writes, milk which was milked by a non-Jew and there was no Jew who observed it, usur, is not allowed. Period. Nothing more to talk about. Except for one thing, that he has a whole bunch, like another 10, 20 lines over here, so maybe we should look at what he continues on to say. Cholov shechilbu ovid kachavim ve'enish aro, usur, shema iriv bo cholov tameh. So now, according to this approach, does it sound according to the Shulchan Aruch that there's an absolute gezeira, or does it sound according to the Shulchan Aruch is that we're afraid that there's non-kosher milk mixed in? Which way? Clearly, the Shulchan Aruch sounds that the Rambam clearly sounded the first way, even though we could argue if that's what the Rambam really means. Shulchan Aruch makes it very clear that what's the problem? The rabbis disallowed milk from non-Jews. Why? Because we're afraid that there's non-kosher milk, which may be mixed inside. Hayacholov bebeito v'Yisroel yoshev mibachutz. If it's being milked in the house and there's a Jew sitting outside of the house, im yadua she'en lo dover tomi be'idro mutar. If the Jew knows that inside this there's no non-kosher animal there, then it's allowed. Afilu eini Yisroel yacholir oto b'shat shu cholev. So therefore, a Jew observing this is not as extreme as maybe you would have thought. It means observing it, he's including being aware of what's going on. So therefore, you're sitting outside the farm, and there's no non-kosher animals in the farm. The Shulchan Aruch just now said that that would be enough.
What would the point of having an Israel?
Excuse me?
What's the point of having an Israel? He's not observing what's going on.
But he is. No, you're saying he's not observing. He's not actively observing. He's not watching it being milked. But he knows that there's nothing non-kosher inside. So that already creates knowledge. Again, once you say the law is a law having to do with a concern for kashrut, so I can ask you now, if a non-Jew goes into a place where there's 100 cows and nothing else and comes out with a thing of milk, is it kosher? So what did the Shulchan Aruch just now say? Yes. Why is it kosher? You'd have to say the other way around. Why isn't it kosher? What's not kosher? It's not kosher when a non-Jew shows up with a bottle of milk. Then you say, where did that milk come from? So then when I have to believe him that where it came from the kosher or the non-kosher animal, that's where the problem is. But when the level of observation over here is very interesting. The Shulchan Aruch just now told me that when it says that when a Jew has to see it, it doesn't mean the Jew has to actually see it being milked. The Jew could be outside the building. The cow is inside the building, and the Jew walks out with the milk. That milk now is considered to be Cholov Yisrael. One second. That milk is Cholov Yisrael. Why? Because it's not non-Cholov Yisrael. What's non-Cholov Yisrael? It's not Cholov Yisrael. It doesn't mean a non-Jew touched it, right? It means that a Jew observing it makes it Cholov Yisrael. What level of observance did we just now see? Even a more minimal level of observance. So that's a very good question, and we'll get to that. Yeah?
This is like the opposite of number two, because in number two we said, even if you know that your neighbor only has
kosher
animals, maybe there was something in the
plate. Correct. I told you, the Mordechai was stringent. That's why I said maybe it didn't sound nice before. I wasn't as concerned about the Mordechai. Now you see why I wasn't as concerned. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't necessarily agree with him. Let's continue. Hayelo dover tamei be'idro. If he did have a non-kosher animal in his flock, v'hayisroel yoshev b'chutz, and the Jew sitting outside, v'ovid kachovim cholev letzarech Yisrael, and the non-Jew is milking for the Jew, afilu eini yochel roto kishu yoshev, and even though he can't see it, im yochel roto kishu omeid, if he were to stand up, he would see what's going on. Mutter, why? Sheyere shema ya'amod b'yirahu. Because then the non-Jew may be afraid that the Jew is going to stand up and see what he's doing. So again, this is another level. Here, the non-Jew has 6 cows and he has got 6 pigs. And you go over to him and say, can you please bring me some milk from the cow? I need kosher milk. And he walks in and he's going to get the milk. You're sitting and you can't see him. But if you stood, you can see him. Then we say that the milk is kosher. Why? Because he'll be afraid that in the middle you're going to stand up. He never knows at which point you may stand up because you may come in. This goes very far to your question as well. Because he's afraid right now, and because he's afraid, the milk is kosher. in this case as well. So again, we're reading the Shulchan Aruch now, which, as I said, is pretty authoritative as far as Jewish law goes. Let's continue. For who yodeya shecholov tomei aser Yisrael, as long as this guy knows that the Jew cannot eat the non-kosher, drink the non-kosher milk, so then he's going to be afraid because he's not going to get his money, he's not going to get paid for what he's doing. Rama haga, ulechadchilat tzarech liyotei Yisrael b'tchilat chaliva, but it's really best if a Jew is there watching as it gets milked. The yira b'kli, shelo yeh b'kli shecholov imbo dover tamei, and that he also sees the utensil that it's going into to make sure that there's nothing inappropriate within it. V'nagu lahachmir shelo yechlov b'kli shedarkosh ovet kachovim lechlov bo, and we're careful not to use the same barrels that they use for their milk, because again, they're generally not careful. Because maybe they would have left over milk from their usage. But he said, b'di'evid, if somebody brought you milk and whatever, so then you don't really have to be concerned like this. Next couple words are very important for us. Ushvachot, what's a shivcha? A servant, a maid. Shvachot, shvachot, shechovot habehemot bibayit Yisrael o bidir shelahem kol mokum she'ein beit ovod chove mafsik ve'ein lachush adover tamei mutter afilu lechadchila laniach otan lachlov af al pi she'ein sham Yisrael klal. I have a cow. I have a non-Jewish person, man and woman, who works for me, a maid, right? A milk. I have a maid who works for me. I do not have to be home. I do not have to be observing this. I have to be watching this. If the maid milks the cow and brings it in and brings the milk into the house, 100% kosher according to the Shulchan Aruch. So again, this is very different from, again, just to make an analogy, it would be very different from, let's say, Stam Yenam. I mean, when it comes to wine, let's say a Jew owns a vineyard and a non-Jew works for him in the vineyard, that wine is not kosher. That's it. Once the non-Jew touches the wine, again, you know what, which stage it is, I don't want to discuss right now, but this law that if the non-Jew is making the wine in a Jewish winery, that Jewish winery is not going to be a kosher Jewish winery. Over here, when it comes to chalav, it's not the same level of prohibition. Right? I mean, that's what I want you to say. It's not the same level of prohibition. And all along in the Shulchan Aruch, what feeling did we get all the way through over here? When I asked you the basic question from the beginning, is it a question of a gzeira, or is it a, right? It's a law, or is it a question of a kashrut concern of what could have gone wrong? I think we get the feeling very strongly from the Shulchan Aruch that it's a question of kashrut concerns and could something have gone wrong? If it's my house, right? My house, my maid, my cow, my jar, my whatever. So then it says, okay, it's kosher. There's nothing more to think about. And you're going to say, but it's possible. So yeah, it's possible. But you know what? We're not concerned about that possible. And therefore, the milk is going to be kosher in such a case. Okay, so that last case about the maid becomes, I think, very interesting and very significant. Yes. Yes. And that, meaning, what's not Chol of Yisrael? Chol, or from the beginning. Look in the first line in the Mishnah again. And the Jew did not watch over. So what's the whole discussion has really been? What is considered watching over? Which means non-Chol of Yisrael is no Jew watched over. So what did we come to learn now? That watching over could be that you're outside the door. Watching could be, you know, that you could stand up and see it. You had a potential to see it. They'd be scared. Watching could be that it's your house. That's also considered watching over. Which means the whole issue really has been, how do you define ra'ohu, seeing it? Which that's why I preferred to define ra'ohu as awareness rather than actually visually seeing, because that seems to be the way the Shulchan Aruch has moved in terms of its interpretation. Good? So you still want to know about Haagen-Dazs or... Let's continue. At the very end of the Shulchan Aruch in source 4, in the top of page 2, it says, V'afilu Yisrael katan oktan mo'in, The Ovid Kachovim Meratet Lefneim. It's talking about a case where the non-Jew is doing it not in your house, but in their house. It's even enough if somebody under bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah is watching them because they're afraid. So is this a question of testimony? Obviously not. This is a question of fear, which means if a non-Jew is intimidated or afraid to mix non-kosher milk in, at that point it becomes chol of Yisrael. Okay? So now again your question comes up. What if they're scared of the government? I mean that question clearly comes up. In source number 5, the Chtam Sofer will go against everything that we've just now seen. The Chtam Sofer writes, "Desfirle de Rashi, according to Rashi." Now I just have to warn you, I have the Rashi opened up over here. I did not put it on the page. Whether Rashi really says this or not is a whole other question, which we'll see a little bit later. But nonetheless, the Chtam Sofer writes, "Desfirle de Rashi, de cholov gzeira kadmonit haita." Kodem sha'asru gvina va'az asru ha'chalav sha'ein yisrael ro'o. He says, this is an ancient gzeira. Again, the important thing is the gzeira. This is an absolute prohibition. Afagav detchile gzeira haya mishum chash iruv dover tamei. Even though originally they were afraid because of kashra concerns. Mikom makom kevin sha'gazru va'asru b'minyan stam asru kol chalav sha'ein yisrael ro'o ha'chaliva o yachol l'ro'ot. Afilu lekach shash davar tameh, kegon acholiv legaben. Okay, I'll explain that in a second. What the Chtam Sofer is saying is that originally the concern was kashra concerns. But once it was established that it's not kosher, even on a rabbinic level, that's it. Non-kosher milk is not kosher, which means it's a gzera. Which means, according to the approach that I think we had seen pretty clearly in the Shulchan Aruch, and for that matter, even in the Mordechai, who was stringent, we had seen that it was a question of a kashra concern. Over here, the Chacham Sofer says, no, it's a gzeira. Once it's a gzeira, I don't care if I know if it's really not a problem with kosher. It's a gzeira. Milk from a non-Jew is not kosher, and there's nothing else to talk about. Now, obviously, you would go back to the Chacham Sofer and say to him, well, how does that fit in everything we just saw in the Shulchan Aruch? The Chacham Sofer can't go against the Shulchan Aruch. So he would say that it's, again, questions of knowledge or awareness, but you see, he's saying it's not a question of kosher, it's a question of a gzera, an absolute gzera, which exists. And I know that the last sentence I said doesn't make all that much sense to you, but nonetheless, the Chacham Sofer would say, even in cases that you would have pretty good knowledge, it wouldn't make a difference because there is a gzera. And he bases himself on Rashi, which, again, you'll have to take my word for it right now, that this Rashi is not all that simple, but you'll see that as we go on. In the Pri Chadash, he goes even further to allow milk from a non-Jew than you would have imagined. From the beginning, de lo v'shema'in and mehacha, de lo asru chalav goy, elikishish shash mitarovet chalav tameh. Exact opposite of the Chacham Sofer. We're only concerned with chalav akum when there's a concern they may have mixed non-kosher milk in. And this is a concern of kashrut, there may be non-kosher milk in there. De habi de leka dover tameh be'idro, hitiru. How do I know that? Because I just saw in the Shulchan Aruch, that if there, or even from the Gemara, that if there's no non-kosher animal in the flock, it's allowed. Even if you didn't see the milking itself, lo omed v'lo yoshev, even if you weren't there, as long as you could have seen it, because they're going to be afraid. Number 6, right, Nachon? Right. After lech, but he's going to go further in a second. After lech tarovet mishum lo plug, elavadi kedemrinu v'nemtzinu lemdinan, Shadino mamash. Okay, we'll skip a little bit over here where it's underlined. Hachinami. The same case will be im cholav tame eno nimsa b'mokom echad o shenimsa elashu yoter biyoker micholav ein la asur sham cholav shechol gobgoi ve'ein yisroo elamuter leilechul knot me'agoyim cholav shelahem v'chein matzati laradvaz b'tshuva b'simin ayin hei kidvrei. What did he just now say? If in this place, if the non-kosher milk is more expensive, camel milk, today you can get camel milk in America and in Europe. Situation has changed from a long time ago. They are now legally importing. The Saudi Arabians have a great deal of power on American economy right now because of all the oil and so on. So somebody has started to import camel milk. So when Rav Moshe wrote his tshuva, which we'll get to, there was no non-kosher milk which was legally sold in America. You couldn't sell pig's milk, you couldn't sell camel's milk. There was none. Today there is camel's milk, but as far as I understand, the camel's milk is, they claim it's healthy and it's good for your cholesterol and it's good for all kinds of things. It's not kosher, but it's more expensive. So still, according to the Pri Chada, excuse me? It's not. It's, I don't know why. It's not, maybe because you can't make butter out of it. I don't know. I don't know. But as long as the non-kosher milk is more expensive than the kosher milk, so at that point the Pri Chadar says, so now again, I'm allowed to believe the non-Jew when he sells me milk. Why? Why should I suspect he's going to have more expensive milk and sell it as the cheaper milk? Right? And again, this goes to this level of awareness that we were speaking about earlier. And he says, therefore, if there's a place that, again, there's no non-kosher milk in that place, you live in a city, you live on a farm, in a town, in a city, or a country that doesn't sell non-kosher milk, the Pri Chadash, or it sells non-kosher milk and it's more expensive, the Pri Chadash then says it's allowed, and all of this is considered to be Chol of Yisrael. So again, that's what I want to stress. Why? Because there's an awareness. The issue is there's an awareness that, because what's the problem of Chol of Akum? The problem is, according to this, that it's not kosher. If I have an awareness that it is kosher, so that just now became Chol of Yisrael. And he tells us even further that that was the minhag in Amsterdam. He doesn't write it right over here, but that was the minhag where he lived, that was the minhag in Amsterdam. And he also quoted the Radvaz. Radvaz was the chief rabbi of Egypt, major, major Sephardic posek. We'll see the significance soon. Now, the Chazon Ish, I was unable to bring you the exact photocopy of the Chazon Ish. For some reason, on Bar Ilan's disc, it lets you see it, but it doesn't let you copy it. I don't know, it's a chumrah of the Chazon Ish, I guess. It wouldn't let us copy it. But I do have the Chazon Ish quoted. But he's quoted by the Chelkot Yaakov. Again, it was a major posek last century. And he's dealing with, you know, with milk and government authority. And then he writes, and again, this is section 10. This is after he wrote 9 other sections. He writes, La'acha katvi ha'arini, after I wrote everything I wrote, my son, my beloved son, you know, found this thing in the Chazon Ish, which says, and he's going to quote the Chazon Ish, Simen ben Aleph, la'inyan avkat chalav, regarding milk powder. You know, sometimes in your ingredients it says avkat cholov akum, right? So regarding milk powder, sheleda'ato yachol yasot gam michalov tamei va'aser, because theoretically you could have made it out of non-kosher milk, would not be allowed. Va'achakach katav, and then the Chazon Ish writes, and now he's quoting v'zeh lashono. So he's quoting the Chazon Ish right now. Amnam b'sheyesh pikuach hamemshala. I know you all think the Chazon Ish is going to have to be machmir over here. Ka'asher yesh pikuach hamemshala. What does that mean? When there's government supervision, ala chalav, shelo ya'arvu chalav tamei, that they're not going to mix in non-kosher milk, v'hem tzfu'im la'onish halaziyuf, and they will get punished if they fake this. Which, by the way, what was the case in the Shulchan Aruch? That you may stand up and not buy the milk. And that was the big punishment here. Here you're talking about actual fines, not just that you're not going to buy the milk. Here you're talking about a fine. Yesh mokum lomar. When he says yesh mokum lomar, what does that mean to you? There's room to say, dahave kishvachot achovot demiratot. It should be the same thing as when the maid does it for you, and they're afraid. Which means the point of the maid that she was afraid that that now this company is going to be afraid. What are they afraid of? They're afraid they're going to get fined. Ukishiyoshiv betzada edukishu omeid huorel, or the same case that we saw in the Shulchan Aruch, where the guy is sitting and could stand up at any minute, that the guy is afraid. V'apri chadosh, remember we just saw the pri chadosh about the milk being more expensive. Katav latir be'imachalav tamei biyokev v'chulei o ein tamei beidro v'hashari dura b'shem Rashi da'asur af be'ein tamei beidro. Hainu mishum dechashav kechalav hamufkar biyada akum v'chashin shem yikach mina akum v'yarev. And even in this case where the Sharidur is Machman, by quoting Rashi, that's only if there's non-kosher milk over there. If there's no non-kosher milk there, then logic would dictate to havi ke'ein be'idro tmeah. Then it's as if there's no, meaning if there's none sold in the country, it's no different to saying that you have a flock with no non-kosher animals. V'yoshiv b'tzada eder, and it's the same thing as sitting on the side. Chazon Ish really sounded quite lenient. By the way, he could not believe the Chazon Ish was lenient. First of all, I'll tell you a fact. The Chazon Ish was lenient. Not only was he lenient, you could say, during World War II, Chazon Ish arrived in Israel in the early 30s. He died in 1953. During the World War II, there was a severe milk shortage in Israel, and there was milk powder that was imported from the United States from non, quote-unquote, Chalav Yisrael companies. And the Chazon Ish told people that if they're weak and they need milk, they can use this. Which means he didn't go off and say everybody can go and use it, but the Chazon Ish did pass it for people that needed to drink milk for their diet, for whatever reason. He said that they can use this milk. So I'm telling you, the Chazon Ish did allow it. We'll see more about the Chazon Ish in a second, but he can't believe it. The Chelkos Yaakov lives in Switzerland. One second, he can't believe it. And he says, V'hinei siper li harav hagon Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. This is the Rav's cousin who lived in Switzerland, not his father who lived in New York. And Neched HaGrach, I mean, he's Rav Chaim's grandson, not Rav Moshe, who was Rav Chaim's son. Shehu sha'al l'chazon ish al zeh. So this Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who, like any good brisker, was most likely somewhat of a kanoi. I apologize for saying that, but we'll just see from the question and answer over here. He asked him this: Sha'omrima love shehitir cholav akum. They say about the Chazon Ish that he allowed cholav akum, v'hishiv b'zeh haloshon. And the Chazon Ish answered as follows: Ma od yamru alai. What are they going to say about me next? Bekarav yamru alai shani matir chas v'shom gam eishes ish. The next thing they'll say about me that I allowed married women. Now, by the way, the Chazon Ish did allow this, but he probably didn't call it Chol Avakum. Why is it not Chol Avakum? Right. So now if somebody's going to come over and say to him, you allowed Chol Avakum, he says, Chas v'shalom. I never allowed Chol Avakum. I can't tell you any more than that, but I can tell you an eyewitness who discussed this with the Chazon Ish. Does that interest you? Which is the next source, number 8, page 3. This is Rav Vosner. Rav Vosner, may he live and be well, is a very elderly man. He came to Bnei Brak because the Chazon Ish asked him to be the posek of Bnei Brak. So I guess the Chazon Ish asked, never told him to stop. So he's been doing this since around 1950. Okay? He's a very, very elderly man at this point, but he writes here. He's discussing this whole issue of milk. He says, "V'lo ne'alem mi'iti shagon Chazon Ish b'yoredeya mem alf sechum dad cholik b'zeh alachtam sofer," which means I know. He goes, he's writing, I'm very well aware that the Chazon Ish disagreed with the Chatam Sofer. Again, what did the Chatam Sofer say? That there's a gzera, and once there's a gzera, it doesn't make a difference. So therefore, obviously, you couldn't use it. You couldn't use the milk powder. I can't now say, well, because there's a government, whatever. According to the Chatam Sofer, there's a gzera. Done. Nothing to discuss. He goes, I'm well aware where the Chazon Ish argues with the Chatam Sofer, who says the gzera chalav gzera kadunit b'nesru b'minyan gam etzav chalav tar shagai. The Chazon Ish maskim lahapri chadash. The ikur smichato shechtam ish al Rashi al zeh. Lamed, right, and he quotes the Rashi. For pirish a pirish bachtam sofer al dekai bnei yatif dekai al chalav tar shenes raminian tamuha de loshen Rashi muchach de al chalav tamekai. Which means if you read the Rashi itself, Rashi is not talking about milk from a kosher animal. Rashi was talking about milk from a non-kosher animal. And that's what's not kosher. And that's where there's a prohibition. Not by milk kosher animal. So he says, the truth is, the Chazon Ish says, I have no idea, right? The Chazon Ish said, I have no idea what the Chatam Sofer is talking about. Which means the whole source the Chatam Sofer is saying, that the Gzera here, based on Rashi, he says, no, that's not where, I don't see it in the Rashi. He says, Hine asapre l'chvodo, let me tell you a story. Lefnei esrim v'chamesh shanim, 25 years ago, I didn't check exactly when this was written, but again, it's Chazon Ish is still alive. Shanim kodim shehidpis haChazon Ish, before the Chazon Ish was printed, Devar zeh sha'al oti. The Chazon Ish asked me, Rav Vosner says, im maskim sheyachlok alachtam sofer, which means Chazon Ish meets Rav Vosner one day and says to him, what do you think if I argue about with the Chtam Sofer? Well, listen, the Chtam Sofer was one of the greatest poskim of the 18th century. The Chazon Ish is in the 20th century, and he's saying, you know, what do you think if I argue on somebody a couple hundred years ago? You think it's, what do you think? V'amarti lo b'mem midubar. What opinion of the Chtam Sofer are you talking about? V'yishivli b'yisochit ha'chtam zif mirashi anal. And he said the Chtam Sofer, which is based on a Rashi, which he considered to be really quite doubtful. V'amarti lo b'einai d'lu yehek dvarav shapir shachtam sofer b'divir Rashi tamua. He goes, listen, I think you're right, because the Chtam Sofer's interpretation of Rashi is really quite surprising. Mikol makom ideze adayin asur lana d'chot shita Chtam Sofer l'dina. He said, the Rav Vosner said, I still don't feel it's appropriate just to push the Chtam Sofer away, and lahalacha, you know, even though it's something which is doubtful, I don't feel comfortable pushing it away. What he's really telling us is that there are lots of people, especially the Hungarian community, Chassidim, they all follow the Chtam Sofer in this. So Rav Vosner is saying, I don't feel comfortable, you know, just waking up one morning and saying, you know, I don't accept the Chtam Sofer, even though you're right, the Chtam Sofer is based upon something which is very difficult. Ubifrata merula migdam milta kenira hetav bidvar b'tshuva, especially because he thinks the Gzeira really is in order to separate Jews and non-Jews and so on and so forth, and therefore he thinks that it's problematic. By the way, did we see the Chtam Sofer inside or not? Yeah, we saw it in number five. We saw it, yeah. Yeah, I do want to read the last line of Chtam Sofer, which we may have missed. Back in source number five. Mikol makom, where you see mem, the second line, the second to last line of the Chtam Sofer. Source five. Mikol makom. Hachalev asura amnam kishanishtana mitzurata v'naasit chema o gvina lo gazru v'chazru laheter. The Chazon Ish says it's an absolute gzera against Chalev Akum. He says it's only when it's milk. It's not when it's in any other form. Is that, one second, was that interesting? Yes? What? Right. So even the Chtam Sofer, who's the most machmir in this, it's interesting what he says. Now, it's very well known, at least I think, to most people in this room, or at least to me, that Rav Moshe Feinstein was very lenient on this. Are we aware of that or not aware of this? The whole American community was basing itself on Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe allowed this milk from companies that were not necessarily had a Jew overseeing the milking and the process and so on. Rav Moshe allowed it. Now, the truth is that despite the fact that Moshe allowed it, he himself was not comfortable with the heter, and he himself did not use the heter. So, again, let's be historically accurate over here. It troubles you that he... No, don't get troubled. He thought that it's a heter. He thought it's something which is allowed. But he told people. He said, if you're asking me, can you rely on this? You can rely on this. It's better not to rely on this. Again, it's something he felt could be relied on, but he felt that it's better to have a Jew working in the company. And he was very straightforward on this. And therefore, if you live in a place in America that you can't get Chol of Yisrael, what would he tell you to do? So then you can use the regular milk. You live in a place that you can get Chol of Yisrael, what would he tell you to do? You should get Chol of Yisrael. That was Rav Moshe's opinion. In source number 9, he has a tshuva to the community in Toronto, which apparently had always had Chol of Yisrael from the time the community had begun. This is what he's writing, and because of financial considerations, what year? Okay, apparently it was for a while, and for financial considerations, they wanted to stop. People that were using Chol of Yisrael wanted to stop, and he told them that they can't. That's what source number 9 is over here. He says, Ibra, where it's underlined, the Ika ta'amim lahakel b'chol avol keach michavarot, even though there's reasons to be lenient, b'medina shem medina ya medina asur lemchor chol av sheyesh bo iruv chol av tameh, where the law of the land is you cannot mix non-kosher milk with the kosher milk, there's reasons to be allowed, where it's underlined afterwards, hurak b'shat ha-tchak, that's only in situations which are extreme. So again, I'm telling you that everybody was lenient like Rav Moshe, even though Rav Moshe himself is very clear about what he thinks the limitations of this are. Turn the page. He says, certainly, on top of page 4, Elu shekfar nagu harbe shanim shelo lismoch al atamim lahakel. Certainly people that were not lenient, on top of page 4, Ela ala hashkachat Yisrael kedin shalem yish iser midin neder. He goes, anybody who has not relied on this leniency cannot one day decide, I'm going to rely on this leniency. He says that this is a Excuse me? I said everyone thinks he's Mekil. I know, but everyone thinks he's Mekil. Where it's underlined afterwards, V'lechein vada yesh lehiz dareiz b'zeh b'yoter u'lechazeki de yirei Hashem yitbarach ha'uskim b'zeh shitkayem ha'cholof shetachad ha'shachach Yisrael b'Toronto v'yitrabu charedim ledvirei Torah sheichu chalav zeh v'kol haminim me'acholof shetachad ha'shachacha Hashem ha'meil legam yuzal ha'mekach v'lo yikshah dover l'shem adam. He says, he goes, let's not be lenient, let's be strict, let's more and more people buy it, and then the price will go down, because there'll be more of consumers who need it, and therefore, so again, this is the same Rav Moshe that everybody thinks was lenient. Here he's talking about public policy, but again, he was lenient in places you didn't have a choice. He says, if you have a choice, and I'm going to read to you another tshuva, which I found particularly interesting, it's source number 10. It's B'davar Cholav HaKompanies Shemedinatenu. Companies, the Chevrot. Companies. Right, according to the milk, which from the companies. This is Bet Menachem of Tufshin Lamed. And the person who asked him is Dean Moreno Rav Yosef David Leiner. Bedover Chalav a company Shabedino Tenu, Shabiarti Besefer Igrit Moshe Besemin Mem Zain, Uve Chelik Yerodea, Shaleke Isser Chalav Shachalav Akum, Ve Enisro Rahu, that there's no prohibition. Avo mikol makom min haro'ui lebalei nefesh lahachmir. Again, every time Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva saying it's allowed, he was careful to say, but I still think that it's worthwhile to be machmir in this, okay? Shemitam ze vade ra'ui lemenalei yeshivot ketanot. Now, what was the case over here? They used to give milk. Do you remember the little milk? They used to give milk out in the afternoon in schools. So the question that was posed to him, in this yeshiva, they're giving out milk, but, and by the way, the question isn't here, so I had to do, I'll tell you how I know the question. But they give out Chol of Yisrael, but it's expensive, and the yeshiva wants to save money, and they want to know if they can give Chol of Stam from the companies, and not just Chol of Yisrael. That's the question that's posed to him. And Rav Moshe answers, Shemitam ze vade ra'ui lemanei yeshivot ketanot she'enu letamideim Chol of shel elu companies shema'amidim Yisrael lerot ha'chaliva. Which companies should you use? The ones that have a Jew who's actually watching the milking, which is called Chol of Yisrael. V'af shehu biyoker ma'at, even though it's more expensive. Shele ha'yeshivot ol zesach gadol meshach shana. And I know it's going to come out to an extreme amount of money over the year. V'hamatzav shel yeshivot dachuk b'shanim elu. And the financial conditions of the yeshivas are difficult. Shebishvil ze mekilim be'ez yeshivot. And therefore, in some yeshivas, they're mekel. Mikol makom kedai lahachmir. Nonetheless, he says it's worthwhile being machmir. Ki gam zehu mi'inin echinuch. That's also part of education. V'limud, sheyedu shekedai v'ruy l'bnei Torah l'achmir, af k'sheshrach shash iser. That yeshiva students should know that you spend more money even though it's a remote chance of something being not allowed. D'mizeh yitboninu l'rot eich l'irami isurim. Therefore, the kids are going to learn how to separate themselves from isurim. V'kol hatzot ha'yeshiva harihu k'dei l'chanech. And all the money for the yeshiva is in order to educate. Dor ne'man l'Hashem l'torato, and a whole generation to God and His Torah. And so on and so forth. So he not only is he machmir, he's machmir on a yeshiva with a limited budget. Now, this case was particularly interesting. Ima, you missed it. The person who asked the question was Rabbi Yosef David Leiner, who was my... Oh, you didn't miss it. He was my teacher. This was the yeshiva that I went to. This was Ohel Moshe. I called him up 2 weeks ago, and I asked him, because I spoke to Rabbi Machlis, the son of the yeshiva. I asked him, do you know anything about this? He said, no. He had no idea about this tshuva. He knew the tshuva, he just didn't realize that Rabbi Leiner had asked the questions. I called up Rabbi Leiner. Again, this was my teacher in 6th and 7th grade. And I asked him about this. He said, I'm the first person to call him in the 40 years since it was written that nobody else had ever asked him before. He goes, how do you figure out that it was about that yeshiva? He actually asked me not to say anything. But what he said was that the yeshiva wanted to save money. and they had discussed it. And at the end, he went to Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe paskened, and he never told them that Rav Moshe paskened. He went to Rav Moshe for himself. He didn't feel that it was his job to force them to do anything. He wanted to know what the halacha was. And in the end, they ended up backing down and making the decision that it's better to serve Chol of Yisrael, and they'll cut money in some other place. So they did serve Chol. He said that they ended up serving Chol of Yisrael anyway, but he said that that's what had happened over here. But again, Rav Moshe, all of us who grew up thinking, Rav Moshe says that it's allowed. Yes, Rav Moshe thought it was allowed, but he was... What? No, in Brooklyn. No, the other tshuva was about Canada. This was the second tshuva. Okay, let me continue. In source number 11 is Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Har Tzvi, who was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, and he's dealing with the question of milk powder. He's matir it. Now again, he lives during a time where there's not so much milk, and he's talking about milk being imported, I believe, also from America, where the regular American companies, there's a law against any non-kosher milk being added in, and he allows it. Let's look where it's underlined. Afkav gavne de tama iser batel av avkat cholav zu loyte bechlal gzeira sharei lo gvinahi ukemosha omer rambam alchema gam bezeh dinotin shakol she'in chashash taruva dover tama shariyahi. What did he just now do? He just now said that milk powder is the same as the Rambam's dealing with butter. Why? He says that the milk powder, it's like the butter.
It's not milk, but it's also not.
Right. It's like the butter. Now, what was the case of the butter? The case of the butter was. The case of the butter was you can't make it out of something else, and therefore there's no chash. So he's going to the therefore. Therefore, there's no worry that it comes from something. So he says when it comes to this, the gzera, or if there was a gzera, the prohibition that we find in the Mishnah is against what? Milk. He says, not against milk powder. Whoever said it's against...
Milk powder, isn't it dry milk?
Yes.
They take up the water, so it's not.
So he said it's not. He said it's not. The same way there's no prohibition against... Right, he says it's a milk product. It's not. He says it's not milk. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank used. By the way, the Chazon Ish argued with him on this for the exact reason that you did. He said, "What are you talking about? Butter is some butter. The whole thing is you can't make butter out of anything else. Milk powder you could make out of something else. But what did Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank basically say? That the rabbis made a law against milk. They didn't make a law against other forms." Only against milk. Now, cheese is a whole separate problem, but therefore he says it's not like cheese, which again, cheese is a problem how they make the cheese with the rennet and whatever, which we won't go into the cheese, which is a separate issue right now. But he's saying is that therefore he says it's not analogous to the problems that cheese present, but he says it'll be more like butter. And therefore, just like butter, when I know that butter had to be made from kosher products, otherwise it wouldn't be butter, he says over here, I also know. How do I know? Because the government will fine them if they put something else in. So therefore, the level of knowledge, you could tell me, is very different, that one is the type of knowledge which is deductive reasoning, and the other is based upon empirical evidence. He says it still comes down to knowledge. So that's the argument, whether there is.
How come there are people that drink?
So that's the question, what is Chol Avakum? According to Rav Moshe's, according to the Heter of Rav Moshe and, let's be honest, Chazon Ish, he was also Mekel. What did they claim? They claimed that if a Jew is aware of what's going on, it's not Chol Avakum. So that it's not Chol Avakum. Again, because the Mishnah said that...
In America, there's a Jew that's aware?
Yes. How am I aware? Because USDA, right, will fine them if they put non-kosher milk in. So how do I know? I know because I can trust the government. That's how I know. But who said that? The Chazon Ish already said that. Who said that? Rav Moshe said that. Even though, again, to be honest, neither the Chazon Ish nor of Moshe were all that comfortable with it, but they said that you could use it. Is it better not to? Of course they would have said it's better not to. Over here, he's also dealing with the Shatat Chag. He's dealing with Jerusalem, right, Israel, in the early 50s, when there is no milk around, there's an incredible shortage, but what does he come out and say? He comes out with an incredible heter. What is it? He says that the only thing which was not allowed was milk. And by the way, even the Chtam Sofer, what did the Chtam Sofer say? Remember that last line of Chtam Sofer? It's milk. And when it changes its form, there's no longer Gzera. So even the Chtam Sofer, he's going to go ahead and quote and say, even the Chtam Sofer agrees with me here. So even the Chtam Sofer, who is most stringent, will come out, at least theoretically, according to the Har Tzvi, according to Tzvi Pesach Frank, come out and say that it's allowed because it changed form. So therefore, once it changed form, there's no longer Gzera. By the way, just to be clear on this, if a non-Jew sells you butter, is it kosher? Yes, non-Jew sells you butter, it's considered to be kosher. One second. I don't want to say this in every case, in every place, whatever. Generally, when it comes to a kashrut organization that will give a hechsher on butter, they will not need to see the guy actually milking the cow. They will give a heter to butter. Why? Because there's no prohibition on butter. The Chtam Sofer himself will say that once it's no longer milk, it lost its identity, and therefore it lost its prohibition. Now, you could claim that it's a special law only when it becomes butter. As I said, you could claim that. On the other hand, even the Chtam Sofer, you know, was leaning to that. And that's where the Tzvi Pesach Frank goes. By the way, you want to know Rabbi Soloveitchik's opinion. He was lenient for the reasons of the pre-chadosh, for all the reasons that we've seen till now, he was lenient, and he threw one more thing on top of the whole thing. He said the prohibition is only if a non-Jew milks. He says today no non-Jews milk. It's all done by machines. He says there's no prohibition by machines. Rabbi Soloveitchik. He said there's no prohibition. He goes, very good. Very good. But he says there's no prohibition by a machine. Don't make up new prohibitions. Prohibition is if a non-Jew milks it, not if a machine milks it. And therefore, he said there's no concern whatsoever. So again, Rabbi Soloveitchik, he went further than everybody else.
So organic milk,
I don't know. I don't know if the person is organic. Okay. Let's continue a little bit more. Avadya Yosef was Machmir. For a very simple reason. He did not accept any of the heterim that we've seen. For a very simple reason is that the minhag, he says, in Israel was a minhag not to rely on any kind of heter and to know that the milk came from a Jew. So therefore, even though the Pre-Chadosh, who's a Sfardi in Amsterdam, and even though the Radvaz was chief rabbi of Egypt and somebody he normally would follow, he goes against their leniencies. And this is in source number 13. It's a longer tshuva in his shorter book. Yechavidat is a short tshuvot, but it's a longer tshuva having to do with, not directly with our problem, but over here he gets to the issue. His main question of the tshuva is, can you go to Starbucks and buy a cup of coffee? Is cup of coffee considered to be bishul akum? Is coffee something which is ola shulchan malachim? Is coffee something that needs a Jew to make it for you? Certain things you need a Jew to make. Is coffee one of them? So then along the way in this tshuva, he says, now what about when you get on a plane, and you're on a plane, and they serve you coffee, are you allowed to drink the coffee on the plane? That's this additional question he's dealing with in 13. And he deals with the, okay, Uva Emet. Okay, where it's underlined. Bikomakom yesh lachush l'masheregivim l'mzog b'kileim cholov shechovul goy ve'ein yisroo. The problem is the milk that they're going to serve with it. So he's right away, you're on a plane, they're going to serve milk which is not cholov Yisrael. That bothers Rav Avadya. He's machmir on it. Then he writes, v'emet sheyesh makom lakil l'inyan hakelim b'tzirif data p'richadosh shecholov goy l'nesa b'minyon ele mishum chshash taruvet cholov tameh. And he's going to go on and say, listen, there are reasons to be lenient. Where it's underlined later on towards the bottom, va'afal pisha lacha naktin le'isir cholov shechovul goy ve'ein yisroo b'kol ofen v'chein pashta hara be'eretz yisrael uve'glilotecha u'kimosha katav maran hachidah sham. So over here, Rav Avadya goes against what he perceives to be Sephardic practice against the opinions that are actually lenient. Now, why is this interesting? Because Rav Avadya was chief rabbi of Israel and was asked to give hechsherim to various things, including with avkat chalav, which were imported. He then turned around and wrote a question and asked a different rabbi to give an opinion. Now, was this because he did not want to take responsibility, or was this because he wanted a second opinion, but you already saw his opinion? So in source number 12, we're told regarding Swiss chocolate. The Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Waldenberg, is asked, what about giving a hechsher to Swiss chocolate? Excuse me? Which has milk in it. And he writes from the beginning, Yerushalayim, Marcheshvan, Tavshimen Gimel, Yerushalayim, Yerakodesh, and so on, Lemalat, Kvodo, Rav, Achai, Gaon, Yedid Nefesh, and so on and so forth, Hagon, Hagadol, Harishon, Letzion, Moreno, Varav, Varav, Ovadi Yosef Shlita, Harav, Roshili Yisrael, who turned around and asked him, please give me your opinion on the Swiss chocolate, which has Avkat Chalav in it. Now, you already know something, that Rav Ovadia doesn't like any of the heterim, because he read, look, what does he like? He doesn't like the heter of what we'll call of government supervision. He doesn't love it. He says the minhag is real chal of Yisrael, which means a Jew watching the milking. That's what Rav Ovadia is going to, that's what he himself feels. And I believe of Mordechai Eliyahu felt that as well. Yes. Could be. But again, the Sephardic. But it's interesting. They're saying the Sephardic custom was to be machmir, even though there were some big Sephardic poskim who gave reasons to allow it. He gave the reasons that you already will know. He says it's not again. It's similar to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. He goes, it's not included in the prohibition. He goes, Avkat Chalav is not included in the prohibition, only milk. He goes, now there's only one question. V'nishah rak shash kishla atzmo, du laimu rav bo chalav tome. Which means, he doesn't go for the opinion of the Kamsof of the Zegzera. He's coming down to one question. Is it kosher or is it not kosher? So then he says, and therefore, certainly in a place, you know, where there's government laws, in Switzerland, there's actually incredible government sensitivity regarding to what they're putting in their chocolate. And he says, if that's the case, then there's no reason to, and the punishments they'll get for this. So he says, he comes out saying that it's allowed. But along the way, one of the arguments that he gives is that it's changed in form, is that once it changed in form, there's no longer the gzera, which means... What about ice cream? Is ice cream the same? Okay. So you want my conclusions for today? Fell off. Yes.
Because the good Swiss chocolate has real color,
not that. Right. Right. So now. So let's go through the various opinions now. Anybody who finds or feels themselves to be a student of Rabbi Soloveitchik should know that when Rabbi Soloveitchik, and I've heard this from various people, that when he was in the cafeteria in NYU getting lunch, the cafeteria made sure to have Chol of Yisrael and the same price. They wanted it, that anybody who wanted it, they subsidized it, it'd be the same price as the regular milk, and he went and chose the Delwood. That he and said to him, he goes, no, Delwood was not considered Chol of Yisrael. Is that he himself felt that there was no reason to choose quote unquote Chol of Yisrael over non Chol of Yisrael. Okay, so that was the opinion of Rabbi. He felt there was no reason whatsoever. He felt that this was frumi shtick. He said that he felt that the milk in America is 100% considered Chol of Yisrael. Rav Moshe clearly did not feel that way. Rav Moshe, who allowed it, clearly felt that people better not to rely on it, and if you can avoid it, it's best avoiding. The Chazon Ish, who also allowed it, Rav Moshe, also felt it's best avoiding, and even Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank felt it's better avoiding, because they were dealing with situations which were really dire situations in Israel when there was not all that milk, and that's where the Chazon Ish and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank were lenient. Despite this, if you're going to ask me Does one have to be as radical as Rav Soloveitchik? I don't see why one has to be as radical, and if you have a choice, I think it's better to take Chalav Yisrael. And I say that, again, with all due respect, and you know he was my teacher. I don't see any reason why one has to dafka go the other way. On the other hand, if you want to ask me regarding chocolate and ice cream and other things, I certainly think that there's more reason to be lenient. Somebody actually told me that he got a whole package of Swiss chocolate made out of milk, not avkat chalav, and he went to Rav Scheinberg, and he asked Rav Scheinberg what he should do, and Rav Scheinberg says, well, either you can eat it or you can bring it over to me. So that would without discussing this with Rav Scheinberg, I believe with that. Right. Kosher. The only problem is one of non-kosher ingredients, and not the problem that there's a prohibition against Chalav Yisrael, which means, again, it came back to what I said from the very beginning. What is the problem here? Is it a gzeira that you can't eat? And that seems to be the way the Chassam Sofer goes, and even Rav Avadia seems to go that. We don't want to use milk, which comes from non-Jews, following the Mishnah. One second. On the other hand, when you look at the other opinions, their opinion is it's a question of what is kosher. And therefore, if you have good reason to believe, and you saw the Shulchan Aruch, good reason included that if you would stand up and look, you're not standing up, but if you would stand up and look, then you can see that's enough that they'd be afraid. If the companies making milk today are afraid, so that makes it Chalav Yisrael. So now you can understand exactly where Soloveitchik came from. But when he added that last element, and what was that last element? He says, it's from a machine. Whoever said that the milk from a machine is not allowed? It's not in the prohibition to begin with. So again, you could say that it's very clever, but that adds to it. But again, once you go to the milk changing its form, certainly including Avkat Chalav, but again, I didn't see anybody say this specifically, but I'm willing to go as far as ice cream as well. That once it's changed its form, you can then easily say it's not part of the same the gzeira. It's true that if you go back to the Rambam, you can argue like the Chazon Ish says, no, that's only butter. It's not by other things. On the other hand, we saw along the way of you, including the Tzitzit Eliezer, including with C. Pesach Frank, who used the argument for Avkat Chalav, they said, no, once it changed its form, then it's no longer the same prohibition. If that's the case, then again, be consistent. Once it's changing its form, which should include chocolate and other things, which means that the quote-unquote prohibition would only be by milk and not by other things. As Rav Moshe said, somebody wants to be machmir, they can certainly be machmir on this. It's a good thing to be machmir. But I also think that there's certainly room to be lenient by all these other things. Because again, if you're dealing with a case that you think there may be non-kosher milk added in, that's a whole other story. If there's no non-kosher milk, we saw the whole tone and texture of the Shulchan Aruch was it's just a question of knowledge. Is there something non-kosher in here or not? And that seems to be the direction. It's the Chatam Sofer who got up and said, no, there's a gzeira, which apparently ended up having a great deal of influence on all of the Hasidim and so on that came afterwards, that no, this is Chalav Yisrael, you can't have anything else. Once you see that even the Chazon Ish attacks the Chassam Sofer on this. And even the Chassam Sofer himself agrees it's only when it's in its form of milk and not in other forms, I think that there's a great deal of reason to be lenient. I do understand why there are whole communities who will not agree with me on this, but I still think there's room to be lenient. Yeah. Yeah, you can look at it if you want to. Lamed Hay. Amid Aleph in Avodah Zarah.